You're listening to a podcast from 702.
We bring you our Monday conversations leading up to the local government elections. Last week, we kicked off with Paul Berkowitz, the director at Third Republic. They're a non-profit organization working for political change and grassroots democracy in South Africa. So along research that they conduct, they also support independent candidates. And that's our focus for today. We're talking about the electoral voting system and the types of votes that we have, but ultimately how municipal councils and the system that we have penalizes independent candidates. We had John Pullman last week speaking to independents from Cedarburg, and there was another one from Queenstown. But we're also seeing interesting developments in places like Emfuleni. There's an organization that's also come under the umbrella of Musi Maimane's One South Africa movement, and the organization has 40 ward candidates competing for seats in Emfuleni on election day. And they feel that they would be able to get better results if they speak principally about what brings them together. And so they even have some made it neighboring Midval local municipality, which is neighboring them as a local municipality. And they are, their message is that we need more professionalism in local council. And when you look at who constitutes the 40 ward candidates in this particular group, you'll see that there's a variety of skills that are coming forward. I mean, they're engineers. There is one ward councillor. They're engineers. There's one who has a PhD in finance management and is a lecturer. So their whole drive to the community in Emfuleni is all about professionalizing the local government sphere. So how easy is it for independent candidates? What are their prospects of success, not just in making it to council or being able to represent a constituency and build a constituency, but in ultimately effecting change and enacting their vision? So that's where Paul comes in, because of the work that they do in supporting independent candidates, but also research that they've been tracking over the years. If you have any questions, feedback or comments, do let us know on 011-883-0702. Paul, good afternoon. Great to connect with you again.
Good afternoon, Azania. Thanks again for having me. And I apologize in advance. The connection on our side has been a little iffy, so if you lose me, I'm not far away. I will be back within a few seconds.
Okay, fantastic. Thanks for the heads up, the advance warning. Let's hope it holds up for the duration of our conversation. So you say on Third Republic that our electoral system favors political parties and that independent candidates are penalized at every step of the process. And as Third Republic, you do work to support independent candidates. One South Africa movement leader, Musi Maimane, has said in recent weeks that independent candidates are the future of South Africa's democracy. Is that starting to kind of take shape? Do you believe that?
I do, Azania. And I think today, without getting too much into the technical weeds, I thought we could talk a little bit about our electoral system, mm-hmm. the different kinds of elections that we hold. We've got two different kinds of councillors at the local level. And I thought we could talk about that and how it can affect independent candidates negatively, why so many promising would-be independent candidates decide to join a party or start their own party. And a lot of it comes back to how our system is set up mm-hmm. and the advantages that it confers to political parties. We call it a political party system sometimes for that reason.
Right. So what are the different types of elections that we have?
Well, in general, not just in South Africa, Zanya, but across the world, there's two main types of elections and two main kinds of seats that we vote for. In general, in South Africa, we have what we call a proportional representation system or a PR system. There's a similar system in countries like Italy, in some of the Scandinavian countries. And what it means simply is that a party will win representation in proportion to the votes that they get. So if we look at 2019, we've got 400 seats in the National Assembly, and the ANC got just under 60% of the national vote. 60% of 400 seats would be 240, and they got around there. They got just under 240 seats. The advantages of the system is that it gives a little bit of a boost to smaller parties and to new parties. And we'll see why when we look at the other kind of electoral system and voting. And it makes the system more dynamic. We know that from our voting history since 1994. We've seen a lot of new parties spring up. Some of them disappear, some of them grow, some of them shrink. But there's a lot of movement in our system. And as I said, this proportional representational system gives a bit more of an advantage to small parties that find it hard to get started otherwise. The other kind of system that we know about is a constituency-based system. It's sometimes called first-past-the-post system, and that's the system that you'll see in America, mm-hmm. in the United Kingdom, in Zimbabwe. And the way that works, and that's got relevance to our local government elections, because half of our seats use that system, and those are the ward seats. And the way that works is you normally vote for one person. It can be more than one sometimes, but normally one person to represent a specific area. When we look at America, you've got senators that represent their states, and you've got Congress people that will represent a smaller district, which is similar to our ward system. Mm-hmm. And how that system works is whoever gets the most votes, doesn't have to be a majority, can be what we call a plurality. That's just a fancy way of saying more votes than anyone else, but could be less than 50%. Whoever gets most of the votes, the greatest share of the votes, wins everything outright. Mm. And that's how it works in a ward system. And everybody else leaves with nothing. Mm. So what you can find in a ward election, Azania, is that the winning candidate could get well under 50%. Mm. If the vote is split, sometimes we've seen in some parts of northern KwaZulu-Natal, we've seen a three-way race between the ANC, the IFP, and the NFP, the National Freedom Party. And sometimes they'll each get around a third of the vote. Mm. And then you have someone who will represent your ward, and they might have only got 35 or even 30% of the vote. So that's the disadvantage. The disadvantage of that system is you can only elect one person, and they might not even get close to a majority of the vote. And that means that your elected official might be someone who was only chosen by 30% of your ward or your state, or even less sometimes. Mm. But the biggest advantage, and the one we want to talk about today, and whether we really have that advantage under that system, under our ward vote system, is that you've got direct representation and direct democracy. You're not voting for a party. Yeah. In theory and ideally, you're voting for a candidate. You're voting for a person who will represent you and who will ideally be answerable to you and your community and not their political party. Mm. But that doesn't always happen in practice.
So then we have different elections happening at different levels, right? Because we have the local level, provincial level, and the national level. So the local level then is a mixed system. So this formula yes. then gets even more complicated when we take it because it's mixed at the local level.
Correct. And if we talk about it a little more, mm-hmm. you can soon see, Azania, why the system benefits political parties and why so many people who want to enter politics would rather start a new party or join an existing party than run as an independent candidate. Mm-hmm. So as you said, it's a mixed system. Half of our seats are at the local government level or ward seats. And we just said those are constituency, first past the post seats. And the other half are proportional representation mm-hmm. seats. And we call those councillors that are elected that way PR councillors. Yeah. But here's the twist, Azania. The system is overall proportional representation because our constitution says we have ultimately a proportional representation system. It's purely PR at the national and provincial level, as you've said, and the formula at local level forces it to be PR. So how does that work in practice? If you are a party, let's say you are a ward candidate for, I don't want to be rude on air, but I don't know if I can pick any party for you, then you won't be offended. Let's just say, let's just say you're a ward councillor for Black First, Land First.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, if you win your ward and you get the plurality of votes, great, then you will be a ward councillor. But even if you don't win, those votes that went to you will go into a big pool for your party. They will get added ultimately to your party's PR votes.
Yeah.
So in some sense, a ward vote for a party candidate can end up as part of the pool of the PR votes.
Yeah.
And the total proportion of votes for a party is calculated as both types of votes added together, the ward plus the PR votes.
Mm.
So that obviously gives an advantage to a party.
Mm.
And if you're an independent candidate, in contrast, and you don't win your ward, those votes are lost. They don't go anywhere to anyone. As Fiona Ramsey used to say on The Weakest Link, you will leave with nothing. You will get nothing. So that's the advantage of the party political system. And that's why you will see things. What we've seen through our research is that the big parties will register ward candidates in every single ward. They might not be good candidates. They might or might not be the candidates that the community wants representing them. But the party knows that even when you vote on your ward ballot and you see the party logo, you might put your cross next to that candidate. You might know nothing about them, but you will feel that, well, this is the party I like to vote for.
Yeah.
And you may or may not know that that vote will go to your party in the PR pool, whether or not the ward candidate is elected.
Mm.
And you see a lot of games being played, Azania. What we've seen this now, we've just done some research looking at the candidate lists because they've been up since last week.
Yeah.
We looked in the city of Joburg. And you will see, and this is what's interesting, and it can be a little bit irritating. It irritates me. It's a very controversial practice. It's completely legal, but whether it's ethical or appropriate is another story. If you are a party, you can register the same ward candidate across a number of wards. What we found, for example, in the city of Johannesburg for the Freedom Front Plus is there's a ward candidate represented across all 130-odd wards.
Wow.
But there's only 12 unique names, Azania. There's only 12 candidates that are standing for wards. And on average, if you divide 135 by 12, each of those candidates is standing in something like 15 or 20 wards.
Mm-hmm.
It's all legal, except you can't do this as an independent candidate. If you're an independent candidate, you have to get 50 signatures from people that live in your ward that claim they will support you, and you have to jump through many more hoops. But you don't have to do this as a party and as a party candidate. And this is being done to harvest the vote. A lot of these parties have got no intention of putting forward a candidate that they think will win.
Mm-hmm.
In the case of the Freedom Front Plus, in most of the wards, they'd be happy to get 2%, 5%, 10% in wards where they're not strong, because all those votes get added to their PR pool and they will get more PR councillors. But it clogs up your ward ballot list. You're going to have 30 or 40 or 50 names with abbreviations you've never seen before, with names that you don't recognize, and it makes it harder as a voter to make an informed, educated choice because you're overwhelmed and you don't even know if that party candidate that's standing for ward councillor lives in your ward and would be able to represent you if they won by any chance.
Right. So the feat that an independent candidate would have to pull off to just simply get anywhere would have to be quite extraordinary. Have we seen cases historically where independent candidates have managed to somehow undo this advantage that political parties have?
I don't know of any off the top of my head, Azania. Okay. If we look back to 2016, we know that of all the independent candidates that ran in Gauteng, at least, not one of them won. The best performing one got 32%. He came close. The DA candidate in his ward got 40. So it was close, but not good enough. No independents won in the by-elections in Gauteng. We know that there were four independent candidates in eThekwini last time that won their seats. But they weren't true independents. I think we spoke about this last week, Azania. Yeah. They were ANC councillors. They wanted to run under the party. They weren't the chosen candidate of the party, and they decided to run as independents. In a few of those cases, they had probably run before as ANC councillors. They were known to their communities. And yeah, so I think the best we can say is that the success rate is very low. And then in most of the successful cases, you will find that the candidate came from a party before, had some kind of history and brand name recognition with the communities, and very almost never built up their profile as a true independent without any outside help.
So it's interesting that we're seeing an increase in independents registered for these local government elections in spite of the conditions and the historical track record of how independents have fared.
Yes, and I think that partly speaks, Azania, to how fed up a lot of South Africans, most of us, are with the party political system and with the choices we've got. The big parties, there's a lot of criticism. You can run down the list, ANC, DA, EFF, ACDP. A lot of people have got criticisms of how they've run their campaigns or the issues that they're campaigning on. And I think we should mention, before there are any calls from the listeners, that in the case of Wanesa and Musi Maimane, what's happening is it's, and this is speaking to your first question, are we seeing a change? We are seeing a change, but it's an interesting, it's no longer either or, Zanya. It's a bit of a hybrid system. So what Wanesa is doing is registering community organizations that are constituted like political parties. Mm-hmm. They're able to compete for the PR vote. They will, if they get a big enough share of the vote, even if they don't win a ward, they can win a PR seat. But what we are seeing now is that we don't want to repeat the mistakes of existing party political system. We don't want these new parties which represent communities to now become like existing stale old parties that are unaccountable and only have their loyalties to party bosses and their party lists. So what some of these organizations are doing, Azania, is they're drawing up internal constitutions and rules that make them more accountable. One or two of them, there's a community organization in Makana in the Eastern Cape, have put in a recall clause into their constitution. So any candidate that runs and gets voted in, let's say, as a ward councillor, if they don't perform, they've got a mechanism that they've signed up to that will allow the community to recall them and trigger a by-election. Oh, but this is not something that's universal law. Mm. That would be nice. But at the moment, it's on a case-by-case basis.
Mm. In fact, on that note, let's take calls. Keith, you've called us from Athol. You have a question. Hi, Keith.
Hi, and your guest. I've got a question regarding the PR ballot. Let's take the city of Joburg for an example. What are the criteria for a political party to be included in the PR ballot paper? Because I assume not all registered parties, of which a few hundred, appear on that ballot paper.
Okay, so the criteria. Paul?
Thanks, Keith. It's relatively straightforward as far as I know, Keith. If you're registered as a political party, you will appear on the PR ballot. At the moment, by our count, there are 54 parties registered in the city of Joburg, apart from about 44 or so independent candidates, and each of those parties should have access to the PR vote. They should be on the PR ballot, and they should be able to elect PR councillors and have a list of PR candidates.
Right. And another one from Sintletsi, he says it's misleading to call candidates under One South Africa Movement as independent. They're sponsored by supposed billionaire Rob Herzog. You can't belong to a particular political movement and claim independence. So this is a comment coming in via Twitter. And there's another one on WhatsApp, I think, saying, could Paul please explain this hybrid that One SA Movement is? Just saying, can you do that again? I think they just want more clarity.
Okay. Great questions and comments, and I think there's some overlap, so we'll try address them both. The comment from Twitter, Zanya, is fair. It is fair to say that as soon as you register as a political party, whether you claim to be a community movement, then you start to feel the pressure from sponsors and from the party structure. There's no escaping that. It's nothing. It's something we can't wish away. We wish we could, but we can't. I'm not aware of who all the sponsors and backers of One SA are. I have attended one or two meetings with One SA representatives and the wider community, and I do feel that most of the community organizations that are being registered in the municipalities where One SA is active are sincere about the work they want to do. But the comment from Twitter is very fair. It there is pressure. It's very hot. You cannot claim that these parties, despite their best intentions and however hard they work for internal democracy, that they are not going to have to be answerable to their sponsors. And that's a big difficulty. In regards to the question on the hybrid system, I think it speaks to what we spoke about, the strengths and weaknesses of proportional representation versus a constituency election or direct democracy. It's an attempt to get the best of all worlds. Mm. And that's what our municipal system was initially designed for, to get the best of all worlds, to get representation for small parties under the PR system, but to have ward candidates that were answerable to the community. But we know in practice that something like 95-96%+ of all the ward councillors are either ANC or DA, and they're accountable to the party. We still haven't solved this problem.
Sure. Oh my goodness, I was looking for a much more positive picture, but it's not emerging to be. It seems like independent candidates, just that idea, is either a misnomer in what we find locally, and it's still quite elusive. So there's still a long way to go. One question from Leon, it says, what does a councillor earn?
Okay, interesting question. Before I answer, Azania, I'd love to bring good news, and I do think from the work we're seeing that there's this growing grassroots movement of independent candidates and communities that are trying to figure their way through the rules, that they are reaching out to each other, forming associations, sharing knowledge and resources. Okay. We're not going to get there immediately. Things are not going to change overnight after the 1st of November, but I do believe we're moving in that direction. Okay, what does a councillor earn? Some people will say too much. Some people will say not enough. The short answer is not the same. A councillor earns depending on the level of their municipality, and a municipal level is determined by a municipality's population and its budget. So the largest and richest municipalities, the metros, a councillor will earn considerably more than if they were working in a very small local municipality in a rural area. Mm. At the top, a councillor can earn in the region of 50,000 rand a month. That would be applicable, I think, for City of Joburg and Cape Town and so on. Mm. And at the bottom, I'm not sure because the Gazette is updated, but I think at the lowest tier, it's probably in the region of somewhere between 15 and 25,000 rand a month.
Right.
The position is officially designated as part-time, so councillors are allowed to generate income in other areas, but of course it can't conflict with the work they're doing.
Mm. Thank you, Paul. We're out of time for today, but we do this again Monday, next Monday, and every Monday until that vote on the 1st of November. And even on that day, we'll connect as we'll be coming to you from the election center at the showgrounds in Tshwane. Thank you very much.
Looking forward. Thank you, Asanya.
Thank you. And that is Paul Berkowitz, and he is the director at Third Republic. One person says one essay is a Rob Herzog project. And of course, there was that talk that was given or shared. It's available online. That was on Biz News that Rob Herzog gave about South Africa, where things are and what he is reading into the situation as to what the future of the country is and who the future leaders will be. It is a fascinating one and worth watching, and it's titled If Madiba Was Alive Today, He Would Vote DA, if you haven't seen it yet.